Good afternoon. This is Harold Franklin, pastor of New Creation Christian Center. We're located at 7728 Rainier Avenue South. We have services on Saturday at 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. Please come out and join us. You'll be encouraged by the Word of God. You'll be stirred by the presence of God, and you'll witness the power of God in your life. So we look forward to seeing you in the future real soon. God bless you.
Today's message is about Christmas, but I want to take a different spin on it. Is that all right with you? Is that all right? Now, I'm not going to take a demonic spin off of it, just so you know. We're going to stick to the Word of God. Amen. But in this time, we begin to go shopping. How many been shopping so far? If you haven't, the malls are still going to be open till 12 o'clock. That's what they said. Yeah. Dang, somebody, I didn't want to bust anybody's bubble, but yeah, some people got to still go shopping. But they're going to be open, and during this time, we're trying to get the biggest, the best thing for whoever we know, right? It's a fun time. Even buying presents for other people is fun. I got to tell you real quick, Precious went shopping with me, and I went shopping with her. And I got her a gift while she was shopping with me. She didn't even know. You know, I had to be slick. She said, I got to go to the bathroom, you know. And so I was like, okay. So I went and got her gift, and I hid it under all the other stuff that we had to get. And then I made sure I had some props just in case we got to the line. I was like, Precious, yeah, I need to take this back. So she hurried back with the first set of props. I was like, dang, okay, take this one back too, you know. So that time, I told the teller lady, I was like, hurry up, lady. I got to hurry up. My wife, this is for her. Let's get it in there. So, you know, it wasn't something huge, but it was just something that I know she's going to like. And she doesn't know what it is yet. She's trying to get it out of me. But anyways, right now we're giving gifts. And I want to ask you, what is your gift to God? Ask yourself, what's my gift to God? Now, I have a definition of gift, and unfortunately, you didn't get the notes. I'm sorry about that. I did email it, but I forgot to get over there. But a gift is a noun. Sometimes it can be referred to as a notable capacity, talent, or endowment. I'm not going to go with that one right now, but number two is something voluntarily transferred by one person to another person without compensation. All right. Number three, the act, right, or power of giving. A lot of times when it comes to gifts, even on Christmas, sometimes we give, especially to our kids, with strings attached. Right. Like if anybody has kids, they say, you're only going to get these presents if you be good. Right. But God doesn't do that to us all the time. Well, the initial gift that he gave us, he didn't have no strings attached. You know what I'm saying? And that's a wonderful thing. I caught myself saying that to the kids every day this week. They kept looking at the presents, touching the presents. One time the presents was all over the floor. I said, how did they get there? And they was like, oh no, daddy. You know? And I'm like, okay, can you guys put them back? Don't open them. You can look, but don't open them. So it's a hard thing for a kid. But as parents, we always say, if you touch that, we're going to take them all back to the store. Anybody heard that before? But, like I said, God doesn't give gifts with strings attached. There is a condition to get those. I guess it's not a string. He's not going to take it from you. You guys understand what I'm saying? But let's look at some of the gifts that God gives us. I got a few scriptures. This is Romans 6. 23, and you know, if you guys got your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn there. This is a scripture that is quoted a lot, but I went through the Bible and looked up a couple of scriptures that had the actual word gift in them to see some of the gifts that God has given us. All right, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, and it says, let me know. It says, for the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I talked to somebody today, and this came up. But as we realized that before we had Christ in our life, our gift was death. Right? The wages of sin. How many work for death? None of us. We work for the gift of compensation, which is money. We now have basically compensation for our time. That's the gift that we receive for working. Now, prior to Christ being born, the first advent of Christ and him dying and resurrecting for our sins, that is what we received. But the gift that God gave us after that is what? Eternal life. Now, some people still kind of have a hard time grasping what eternal is, but it's forever, ever, ever, ever. That's all I can say. It never stops. God gives us eternal life. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and see some other gifts that God has given us, man. And it's very important for us to, as we are in this Christmas time, to recognize the gifts that God has given us. Amen. As I preached yesterday, I preached on Selah, which is a Hebrew word, which means pause and reflect. It also can mean take a musical break, but we went with the pause and reflect yesterday. And we have to pause and reflect on what God really means to us. Another thing, when I said, as we're going there, you got it? Pause and reflect, like the Sabbath, it said pause. Sometimes we need to collect ourselves, reflect on what God is doing. Let's go ahead and read this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of who? It's the gift of God. So grace right now is a gift. What is grace? I like that. She gave us the Bible definition. Unmerited favor. What does that mean? That means given to you something that you did not deserve. Now, when we think about God's grace, none of us can earn his grace, right? There's nothing we could do to earn his grace. You cannot be good enough to get God's grace. You cannot have enough money and have God's grace. You cannot humiliate yourself enough to get God's grace. There's nothing you could do to get God's grace. He freely gave us this gift. Let's see what it says after this. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. That's what I just said. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we see two gifts that God has given us. Number one was what? Eternal. Come on, help me. Man, I only been preaching 3 minutes, I think. At least five, actually. Eternal life and grace. Now, these are some of the things that God has given us, and it's very important that we recognize this. In John 3:16, which is a highly quoted scripture, anybody know it off the top? But have everlasting life. So, what did God give in this scripture? He gave his son. As a gift, as we begin to reflect on this season, which is the first advent, God gave his son. Now, I always think about this, even as a human. Would I give my son for the world, to save the world, even to save maybe two people? I don't think so. That's a tough thing to do because my son and me have a great relationship even now. I say do this and he does it. Now I'm playing, but just the love that I have for my son or my daughter, I couldn't give them up to save people. Now that's a tough thing. There was actually a story where a father's son had got caught on a train track. I don't know if you guys heard this story before. And in order for that train not to allow everybody else on the train to die, he had to let his son die. And it was a tough decision. But he had to do it. Now, it wasn't like, yes, my son's going to die. That I'm pretty sure that, I mean, even just imagine seeing his son get ran over by a train. That's one of the worst things to imagine. Yeah. Right, right. So basically, everybody would have died, or was it either his son or everybody? And that's a horrible thing to experience, but that was just one instance of somebody giving up their child. But Jesus came and was given for us all. Amen? That was a gift. Now, why did he come, first of all? Anybody, any ideas why Jesus came to earth? Because Adam's fall. Yes, that's a reason. Another reason is to have relationship with God, right? Realistically, that's what the whole Christianity is about, is relationship with God. Without relationship with God, we can just have works. We could just be good enough, but it's all about the relationship. Now, so when Jesus was a gift to the world, we got to see how he interacted not only with us as people, but how he interacted with God on earth. Amen? He was the incarnation of God. That means he was God in the flesh. We got to see the things that he went through. He was a walking model, I like to say prototype for us, so that we could know how to live this Christian life. That was a gift as well. Amen? Because since Adam fell, we didn't know how to do this thing. We had the sacrifices. I'm reading that in the Bible right now. And I just got to say this. Those sacrifices were not nothing pretty, man. It wasn't just like, oh, let me bring these doves, put them up there. No, you had to chop them up, take the liver out, you know what I'm saying, sprinkle a couple of blood over here, put your hands on the horns. Like, it was crazy. I'm reading this, and I actually had to listen to it on an audio Bible because I was like, man, that was a lot. So we think the sacrifice is something easy, but just like sacrifice, I'm gonna get back to that. Just remember sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. I'm gonna come back to that. Let's go to the birth of Jesus real quick, just so we can set the mood of how he came. We can see what he gave up. See, a lot of times when you get a gift, we value it now by money, right? If somebody gets you an iPad, you're like, yeah. Because it costs a lot, right? If somebody gets you two pairs of socks, you'd be like, all right. It depends on how fluffy they are, right? Yeah. If they fluffy, then yeah. But if they just like, man, these socks. Praise God. Hey, I got socks a couple years. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you very much. You know, but we value what that person had to sacrifice to get that gift, right? Let's see some of the stuff Jesus had to sacrifice. Prior to this, we got to remember Jesus is in heaven. Okay? He's in heaven with God. He's probably having a feast with God. I mean, they probably feast every day. And he's not getting fat. There's no weight in heaven, right? So they eating grapes of the vine, sitting by the tree, by the water that bears fruit all the time. I mean, they just chilling. And then just imagine God say, Jesus, you need to go in the game. Step in, son. And Jesus probably was like, that game down there? You mean the ones that you can't stand, God, that we need to do something about? We got to remember, he left all his comfort, all the things, just so he can come to earth. That was a huge sacrifice. Right? Some of us, we don't like getting out of our comfort zone at all. But Jesus stepped out of his comfort zone. He stepped out of his throne chair and was like, God, because you said it, I'm going to go do it. He submitted his will to God's will. Amen? Let's look at what happened even when he hit the earth. It was, you know, I was thinking about it. since Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit, and yes, he was born of the Holy Spirit, what was it like being in the womb for Jesus? You know, he still was kicking, you know. I bet if somebody slipped up a cuss, was Jesus about to, or was he contending there? He was like, whoa, I never heard that before, you know. But let's see what he said in Matthew. You got it? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And here we read the story of Jesus' birth. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. This means this is what happened. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm pretty sure Joseph wasn't all the way in until he saw this angel, right? Hey, Jesus was about to be on earth fatherless for a little bit until the angel came through. Thank you, Lord, for the angels. Verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all that was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And they called his name Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Now we see the sweet part of the story right there where Jesus was born. But immediately following his birth, actually, two to three years, they say sometimes, the Magi came. Anybody remember who the Magi are? They were stargazers, astronomers, whatever you want to call them. But they noticed something in the sky that was different. They said, look at, hey, wait, that, do you see that star? We didn't have that star. But even, see, this is a good thing. Even God can show people that are gazing stars really who the real star is. Amen. So when they came, what happened? They went to King Herod. Man, King Herod, King, where's this man that's going to throw your kingdom over? He's going to turn it over. He's going to overturn your kingdom. Pretty much they're like, man, there's a new king that is born in this town. Where is he at? Because we want to go give him worship. This is what they said. That was a gift that they were going to give him. They also brought frankincense, myrrh, and what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But they were like, hey, we have to go worship him. We saw it in a star. So they went, but King Herod wasn't happy about that. Right? What did King Herod say? Where is he? Go find out, and I'll come back to worship with you. Right? We gonna all go. Now, you know, that's one thing Jesus came to do. He came to take over. The first time he came with a nice way. The second time he's going to be slapping some people over. But anyway, just, you know, if you're not ready for that, that's all right. The first advent, Jesus came. He was born. And the Magi came and they came to worship. Even God gave them a dream not to go back to King Herod and tell him. But what did King Herod do? He took two. The any child that was 2 to 3 years old, he went through and murdered them. Why? To delete the baby Jesus. So in the story, the Bible says that Joseph was warned in a dream to flee to Egypt. So we see immediately Jesus' life was trying to be sucked away from him. Amen. This is some of the stuff that we have to remember in his story, sometimes we just thank him for dying, and that is a humongous thing. But we got to remember all the details that that were in Jesus that we should be thankful for. We don't want anybody chasing after us saying we're going to kill you, right? Nobody willingly says, let me have the killers. Let them follow me. Let me run, be on the run. I mean, we see movies now, so we think we're good. Like, oh, if that person does this, I would drive off in my car. They could shoot all my windows. I'll duck. You know, I'll be still in the middle of this. We see all this in these movies, but that's a horrible thing to have that happen to you, especially as a child. But we see him grow up. We see the great things that he had did. But what are some of the things that Jesus continued to sacrifice for us? He continued to sacrifice he had to lay down his desires. He had to lay down anything that most of us want. He came solely to save man. So there was a lot of things he had to sacrifice. More than anything, as I said, he sacrificed his will. We still struggle with that. But Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, Father, your will be done in me. That's a gift that God gave us. And we have to remember some of these things. We also remember him dying on the cross, being humiliated, being spit on, being beat, just so that we could have a relationship with God. Like I said, not a lot of us is going to be saying, hey, beat me for that. My brother, he's the one that stole it, but beat me. I'll take his punishment. We don't even do that for our brothers, right? We be like, he did it. Ask kids. Who did that? Who broke that? He did it. And even if they did it, it was them. Nobody wants the punishment. That's a gift that God took for you. He took that so you didn't have to take that. We know that he died on the cross, rose from the grave to give us the gift of eternal life. Amen. These are all things that God gave us, and we have to continually reflect on these things when we think about Christmas. Sometimes we get caught up, even as Christians, we get caught up on just the gifts given and spending time with family. Our gift to God is what, though? When we think about it, what is our gift to God? Somebody say, what is our gift to God? Our life should be giving to God continually. Amen. We hear that so much. But in order for God to be pleased, there's nothing we can really give God besides a few things that I'm going to talk about in a second. Because God has everything, right? God has love. God has, what does God have? He has everything. You can't bottle up what God has because the bottle is not big enough. He has everything. So when we think, hey, God, I'm going to give you this song, I'm going to give you this, that's not even enough to please God. So what can we give God? Number one, the most important thing that we can give God is our life. Everybody say our life. If we don't give God our life, we are withholding the only thing that God really wants in our life, is our life. The Bible, as I I've been reading Exodus, it said he is a jealous God. When he talked to Israel, he said, I don't want you to serve any other gods. I want you to be dedicated to me. We now are that Israel, because Israel means God saves. If God saves you, you are a part of Israel. Now, I'm not talking about the tribes and all that, but he's saying to you, I am a jealous God. I don't want you to serve any other God, any other thing. I want your life. And us submitting our lives to God is the greatest gift that we can give God. Amen? Now, in saying that, are we giving our lives to God with strings attached? Some of us will say, God, hey, God, if you get me out of this one. Now, some of us know about this, right? God, if you get me out of this one, I promise I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do any and everything to make you happy, God. How many of us has actually said that before? There's nothing wrong. No shame in the game. Okay, I see your hand. I see your hand. We said we've done it several different times in our life. But God is saying, I don't want the strings attached. Check it out. We think about this sometimes, but if God never gave us anything again, are you willing to still give your life to God? If everything around you was taken from you, would you curse God just like Job? Remember that? Job went through this process of get everything that he had being taken away from him. His family, his wife. She left. Huh? Yeah, he was the only thing left. Job's, his donkeys, his cattle, his children, all that was taken from him. And God allowed it. Somebody say God allowed it. Do you mean that God is an evil God and he'll allow wicked things to happen to righteous people? Well, the Bible says rain will rain on the just and the unjust. Life will happen to us all. I hope it doesn't happen to you like it happened to Job. I hope it doesn't even get close. But life is going to happen to us all. There's going to be good. There's going to be bad. But do we curse God just because bad things happen to us? Do we forget about the gift that he gave us, which is abundant life? What is abundant life? Eternal life. Life overflowing. When we say the word abundant, what was you saying, brother? Life with the favor of God. Abundance does not always mean things. I can have $2 in the bank and I'll be good. Now, would I like to get more money? Yes, of course. But I'm not made by my money. I'm not made by my car. I'm not made by my house. Even though it's cool to have that, that doesn't make me successful. That doesn't make me happier as a person and say, hey, I'm complete. I got a nice car. Now, people in the world that still have not realized the gift that God has given to them, that's the things that make up their life. So there's no abundance in their life. They have things, but they don't have abundant life, life overflowing with joy. That's what God gives. He gives us peace through the storm. That's the abundant life that we have. But are we giving with strings attached? Let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 20. I'm actually going to be done early today. Praise the Lord. Somebody say Merry Christmas. Giving y'all a gift. Hallelujah. Some of y'all was sleeping on me already. Jesus. I didn't say you. I didn't say you this time. It's all good. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with your money. Now, when we see this, what do we see right here? The sorcerer, I read this scripture before, he thought that he could buy the gifts of God. Now, why do I say this? I'll say this on the flip side. You cannot buy any gifts in the kingdom of God. And on the other side, you cannot be poor enough to get the gifts of the kingdom of God. Once again, we know that these gifts are given to us by God because he wants to give them to us. By us accepting his son, everything that he has done, the atonement for our sins, that means the payment for our sins, we now have access to the gifts of God. All the gifts of God. Now, I can go back. I read that scripture before, but once again, we want to know what is our gift to God. Let's go to Proverbs 18, verse 16. Now, a lot of times we read this scripture and we think it is our talent gift, right? How many have read this? It says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men, right? So a lot of times we think this only means our talent. Like if I have a great talent, I can be, sometimes it says you'll be before kings, right? I'm just saying, if instead of the word gift, sometimes we put the word talent in there. But God is asking if for us to have, we have to give a gift to God and it'll make room in our life. Now, once again, we have to give our life. God wants you to give your life to God. That's what salvation is about, right? Now, what does it mean to give? It means to surrender, as I said earlier. Surrendering, sacrifice. Uh-oh, that bloody word sacrifice. God wants you to sacrifice for him. And the great thing about God is if you're willing to sacrifice something, he'll even bless you with it just to see if you was going to do it. Ask Abraham. Right? He was willing to sacrifice his only son, which is actually like a, what do they call it? It was a nice word that I heard earlier this week, but no, not murder. Quasi, as my dad said, of the story of Jesus Christ. What Abraham was going to do, we see how much it pained him to even think about doing it. But he was willing to sacrifice. And God blessed him even more. Now, God wasn't, I always say this, he wasn't condoning us killing our children, even beating our children to death. He wasn't condoning that. He wanted to see where his heart was. And God will test you even in the same ways, and he's doing it even now to see where your heart is. Are you willing to give God what you have? As I was praying this week, I was like, man, God, I don't want to just say great things to tickle your ears, God. When I pray, I want you to see that I'm giving my time to you. I'm giving my focus so that I can be in your presence. Another gift that we can give God is worship. Right? Now, see, as I preached about worship not too long ago, the devil knows that if he can get your worship, he's getting one of the greatest gifts that God wants from us. Because worship is a gift. Remember, when God created us, he made us to worship. He made us to praise. He made us for that specific reason. So when we do not give God worship, we're withholding one of the only gifts, one of the several or few gifts that we can give back to God. That's why it's so powerful. When we give a gift, it makes room. When we give the gift of worship, it makes room for God to say, hey, oh man, I'm pleased with him down there. Oh man, I heard Quentin singing that song unto me, and he just wasn't singing that song. He was worshiping when he sang that song. That pleased me. When he says, Monica, I heard you singing that song to me. I heard you just praying to me on worshiping. That pleases God. And when God's pleased, he's going to do even more for us. That's the beautiful thing about us giving our life to God. He's not going to, see, this is the thing we always say. God, I tell people this, when you give your life to God, he's not going to mess it up. Right? You messing your life up. The misconception of a lot of people that know a little bit about God is I have to fix my life up and go give my life to God, but you can't fix your life up. That's why you're in the predicament that you're in right now. Predicament, I like that word. That's why you in the situation that you're in right now, because you are not willing to give your life to God. God is not going to mess up our life. I have a few more scriptures. Actually, I'm going to go to Matthew 2. We're going to read this chapter. The Magi, as I said earlier, this is them giving their gifts. The wise men. You got it? Yep. Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." This is what I talked about earlier. I forgot I had it in there. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.'" This was Herod saying that. This is the Magi. "When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy." Keep going. "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him." This is why I said worship was a gift that they gave. Right? Just imagine these three kings, because the Magi were three kings, correct? They came from a far land just to worship Jesus. Now, these other gifts that they gave them was just fillers, just to say, "Hey, man, let's just put something down right here. Okay, I brought gold. This is something that I highly prize." These were some things that they still highly prized, but there was no prize greater than the worship that they gave God. Amen? There's no prize greater than the worship that you can give God. And worship, as I say, is a lifestyle. So when you give your worship to God, you are giving your life to God. Amen? It says right here, "And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the child of Egypt and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" Okay, we can stop there. But that was just there so we can remember some of the things that God, Jesus, went through and some of the gifts that the Magi were able to give him. Now I want to go to the very last scripture that we are going to speak on, and it's Proverbs 23:26. As we think about our life, how are we giving our life to God is the question that we should ask ourselves. Are we getting caught up on spending our time with other things instead of spending it with God? Or are we spending our time wisely with God? Amen. Are we making him the focus of our life? Because when we get those gifts, it's a focus for us, right? How many of us remember when we were kids, the first day we had Christmas presents that we can remember, We played with them all day, right? Until somebody broke it. Well, I guess that only happened with me and my family because we had brothers. We almost always broke something on the same day of Christmas. Somebody steps on your Nerf gun, like, come on, man. Ah, you got that scripture for me? Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me your heart. Somebody say your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways. Now, this is a proverb, man, and God is saying the same thing. He wants your heart. He wants you to give your heart to him. Amen. This year, as we reflect on Christmas, I want us to remember to give ourselves to God. The song that I really love, that we sing a lot, is I Give Myself Away. And I really like that song because that's the epitome of what we as Christians need to continually do. Amen. We are, I'm going to play this poem about the greatest gift that we can give. Actually, one of my good friends, you have it already? One of my good friends, he wrote this poem this week. And he was like, yo, check it out. And I was like, man, that's exactly what I'm preaching about. So I want us to hear this. This is the Brother K9 that came out here not too long ago. It's not a song, it's a poem. But let us just close our eyes and meditate on what he's saying. Is that all right? Don't go to sleep, though. All right, there you go.
Perfect gift, and some people go into debt, hoping to hear the person you love say this was the best gift yet. But 9 times out of 10, your family and friends, they're not happy with what they got. That's why the day after Christmas, the line for returns is outside in the parking lot. One day God looked down on earth from his throne in heaven above. We were wrapped up in sin and not thinking about him, but he wanted to show us his love. But it couldn't be earned because it was a gift. And God knew just where to start. He said, it's time I give something that's mine, a gift near and dear to my heart. So we made up a list of the things that we need, and he wrote in the sky with his pen. Redemption, forgiveness, healing from sickness, freedom from the bondage of sin, joy, peace, power, love, the list that went on and on. But where could he find each one of these gifts seated at his right hand on the throne? So he sent his son Express Man, because this was the world's greatest gift. For 9 months he grew, and he came out to you on December the 25th. And when we first seen it, we didn't believe it. We said, this is the gift that we got? So we beat it and bruised it, kicked and misused it, put 39 stripes on the box. And all of a sudden a ribbon came off, wrapping paper, it blew in the streets. And a strange thing happened, where there was no more wrapping. The box, it started to bleed. And 3 days later, we opened the box, and everyone looked inside. Redemption, forgiveness, healing from sickness, all the things that God wrote in the sky. It was joy, peace, power, love, all the things we thought we'd never get. And he's the reason why we can look in the sky and say, this was the best gift yet. So I love to give a gift to him, so I toil and rack my brain. Because what do you give the person who really, literally has everything? He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills and has mansions in his house. His streets are gold, his gates are pearl. He created the world with his mouth. So I won't waste my time trying to stand in line or go looking for the biggest sale. Because what he wants from us all, they don't have at the mall. It's not sitting on a Walmart shelf. I can give him my love, I can give him my time, so many things I can sacrifice. I can give him a seat on the throne of my heart, make him first place in my life. I can give my talents, I can give resources, so many things that I can bring him. I can start by bringing myself to church to help advance the kingdom. I don't have any gold, no frankincense, I wouldn't even know where to get myrrh. But if I look in the mirror, I can see things clearer. there's a gift that he would prefer. So there's no need to shop until I drop, and I don't have to go into debt. Because when you or I give ourselves to God, this is the best gift yet.
And with that, let us just close in prayer. I thought that was just powerful. It's always good to do something different too, man, and bring a poem, because sometimes we preach till we blue in the face. But God has allowed us to learn in many different ways. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, dear God. We're so thankful for the gift that you gave us, oh God, the gifts that you continually give to us, dear God, on an everyday basis, oh God. We pray, dear God, that you would just continually build us, dear God. Allow us to remember to give you our life, our heart, to sacrifice to you all things, dear God. Dear God, so that you're satisfied with who we are as your children, oh God. We thank you, dear God, as we celebrate Christmas. Allow us to remember that it is all about you. These gifts that we give is a reflection of the gift that you gave to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody says, amen. All right. Annis Faye Franklin. I'm going to name my daughter, next daughter, she's going to have the Faye name in there. I like that name, Faye. My mother, she's going to sing a song right now. And we'll hand out these gifts that we got for you guys. And I'm just going to say this about these gifts, too. Woo! This is the first time I ever had to do something like this for everybody. I was like, Lord Jesus. We was at the, me and Precious went to the mall. I actually, we went to the store. And we was in there for like 4 hours. Just walking around like, what should we get this person? What should we get this person? You know, so we didn't get you no socks, though. All right, here you go, Bob.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the message. I hope your life was touched. I hope God spoke to your heart. If you want more messages, you can reach us at newcreationcc.blogspot.com, or you can go to itunes.com and download other podcast messages. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is area code 206-402-3118, and our email address is newcreationcc@comcast.net. We look forward to hearing from you. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.